Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come before you, Lord, and bow, Father, knowing that you're an all-knowing, all-seeing God, Lord. And you know each and every one of us where we're at, Lord, and we just pray that you'd minister to us through Martin, Lord. Lord, make him a vessel, Lord, make him a channel, Father, Lord. Just, Lord, let him share, bring a calmness on his heart, Lord. As Lord, we ask you to bind the devil here this morning, Lord. We know that he's a great worker, Lord. He wants to work. He wants to try to bring fear and Martin's heart and all these things, Lord, sometimes. So, Father, just give him clarity, Lord, and minister to us, Father, that we could, Lord, just receive, Lord, and Father, that we could get direction, Father, and Lord, that we could tread on this narrow way, Lord, and Father, that we could just be free, Lord, just have a freedom and to serve you and to grow closer to you, Father. Lord, we need you in a mighty way, Lord. And 2018 now, Lord, and Lord, the devil's on every side, Lord. We know that our adversaries, he don't come in flesh and blood, but he comes in the power and principalities, Father, to destroy, kill, and take a child of God and mix him up. So, Lord, just bring clarity to us. Lord, let us stand upon the rock this morning, Father. Lord, just we need you, Lord. We just ask you for direction, Lord. Let thy will be done in each and every one of our lives, Lord. Lord, as brothers and sisters here, Lord, that we could, Father, that we could just love one another and draw nigh to one another, Lord, and bind the devil in that way, Lord, that we could be open and be open to share with one another, Lord, and be in one mind, one accord, Father. Lord, that the people around could see you and see that you and us, Father. So just help us, Lord, and just help Brother Martin. Just let you be all the glory here, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Each and every one of you. Yeah, I appreciate Freeman shared there. Thank you, Brother Freeman, for sharing the remark he made there at the beginning. He says, after you get done, he said, do we ever share a message that's complete, you know? And, boy, that's my struggle, my heart. It seemed like after I share, I sit down, I'm like, my, I could have shared this, and I could have shared that, and I should have shared this, but I trust that I get done sharing today, that God would interpret the message, that he wants for each and every one of you. It's, from my feeble lips, I know that, you won't understand, but I pray that God would interpret and, give you a message today. Says that Freeman shared, we are righteous in Jesus Christ, but not in our sin. If we're living in sin, we are not righteous. If we're living in willful sin, it's clear from the scriptures that we are not righteous. We are made righteous, yes, through Jesus Christ, but it's when we surrender our hearts to the Lord and we repent of our sin, it's when we're made righteous. Then he shared also there's an indication that a heart can be right with God, but their life doesn't have to show it. And I wasn't going to share that, but last night, my son and I and some of us went out. After I was in the house all day yesterday, I thought I'd go out and get some fresh air. And did we ever get some fresh air? It was cold. It froze. But anyway, as we were there, we stand there. I don't know how many people walked in, possibly couple thousand, at least 4,000 or 5,000 or 7,000. I'm not sure who all goes to those games, but anyway, as we were there, it's just amazing how many people that came by, me and my son, and told us that just we are Christians. Just leave us blankety blank blank alone. And I was like, I told Jaden, you hear that? He says he loves Jesus, but he just got done cursing God in his name. And I was like, and one after another, I went by and just says, well, you guys just leave us alone. We're Christians too. And just cursing. And I told Jaden, I said, it's amazing. How can they? I said, I mean, we're just holding signs and passing out tracts, and it just makes him angry. And I told Jaden, it's just the Word of God that's convicting them. That's what happens. But yeah, thank you for that, Brother Freeman. And the message I have here this morning is just a message that it's elementary. I know that what I share is not going to be anything that you haven't heard, but it's just maybe more of an encouragement. Maybe more just as Brother Freeman shared, you know, just to fight on, prepare, and get ready, because Jesus is coming. And just also another reason, you know, my message is going to be from out of Ephesians 6 there, the whole armor of God. And the main reason is that as we see the wickedness that's around us, the flood of ungodliness, the drunks and the liars and the whoremongers and the homosexuality and divorce and remarriage and the killings and on and the technology that is coming out, and it's amazing that what we're getting into. Just 20 years ago, I mean, just 14 years ago, since I was a Christian, it seems like it has tripled. It seems like just the things that are around us, and where once it was sin, and like just like homosexuality, you know, it's just like all of a sudden, it don't seem as wrong anymore. I'm talking about I heard some Christians talking the other day, and they were claiming to be Christians, and they were saying, you know, we need to leave them alone. If that's what they want to do, it's okay. And it's like, I told Jaden, no, it's not right. It is sin, and it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be rebuked, because God is not gonna tolerate sin in the kingdom of God. It's not gonna. And praise God. That's one place where we can be where sin is not gonna be rampant anymore. It's one place where we can be free. It's one place where we can be at peace and not have these fiery darts that come from Satan. We don't have to worry about that anymore, and I'm excited about that. There's a tearing at your heart where there's going to be a lot of people not going to be at the kingdom of God because of sin, because they love their sin. And I praise God that the Word of God, that we'll go through that some here as I share on the whole armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God. The truth is. The truth is that sin will not enter in, and as I shared, praise the Lord, because I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of seeing the sinful things around us, and I praise God that He delivered from me. Just attacked here just the past week, as I just shared with some of my nieces and nephews, and some of the response that I got a little bit. He wasn't real happy, but I believe that it was a working of the Holy Spirit. So, okay, let's just turn to Ephesians 6 here. And like I said, this is an elementary message, and I know that I probably won't share anything that you haven't heard. But let's start on verse 10 on Ephesians 6. Let's read through that, and I'm just going to come back and touch on a few of those verses. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand all in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So, as I shared, this is more of just an encouragement that we would put on the whole armor of God, buckle up against the snares of Satan that's coming our way. You know, we was talking about as I putting on the armor of God here, come to mind as I was sitting there, and Freeman touched a little bit on that. We know that these soldiers, when they went out and fought the battle, they put on, as we'll go through this, on the breastplate and the helmet of salvation, and they shod their, they put separate the certain shoes on. They girdled up. They put on things that protect their body, so that these firing spears or arrows could not penetrate and hit their vital organs and kill them, possibly, or wound them and all that. And my query is, how much more should we today put on that armor of God? You know, to protect ourselves. As he says, you know, we're walking through Walmart. We know that this aisle over here, they have these magazines and this rack. That's a bunch of evil and nude pictures and all that. So putting on, you know, do we walk by that? I believe that we need to gear up. We need to protect ourselves from the onslaught of the Satan. Yes, as he says, we need to go around here. We know that the alcohol aisle is over here, and I was a drunk for many years. And do we walk down through the aisle? No, we don't. And this is part of that, putting on. You know, yes, with ourselves, if we put it on, we try to do this ourselves, we're going to fail, as we heard. We won't be able to do it without Jesus Christ. We're not going to be able to do it without the Holy Spirit being in our life, being effective in our life. And I wanted to share that. But yet, it seems like Christians feel that, you know, there's the people that I talk to, not from in here, just mainly the mainstream Christianity is amazing, that you're a Christian and there's nothing they can do. You know, Jesus done it all when he died on the cross. We're finished. And they're living in adultery, and they're living in drunkenness and all that. And it's a lie. So, and I believe that we are living in the last times as we see the evil around us. Here as it shares here in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, it says that this know also that in the last times, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, in contentment, fierce, despisers of those that are good, tradey, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and they lead captivity silly women, laden with sins, led away their divers lusts. And it says, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. So let's prepare. Let's continue on walking together. Let's not give up. Let's continue on seeking God. So the first verse here, I'm just going to go through a few of these first ones here before I get to the breastplate and all that. So as it says, that finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. In verse 10, as Paul says, be strong in the Lord. And how does that come about? How are we strong in the Lord? And I did have it written on here, and I can tell you, as I was sharing this message, and I was crying out to God, and I said, God, it seemed there's so many more people, brothers in here that are capable of coming and preaching the Word of God so much better than me. And as I was pondering that, it's amazing. I was just sitting there just crying out to the Lord, and I got a call from a brother, and I just shared that thought with him, and he said, well, when you're strong in the Lord, it's when you're weak. When you see that you're not able, when you see you're not capable of that, he said, that's when God can use. And that blessed me at that time. And I want to be used by God here this morning, even though I feel that there's several others that could do a lot better job. But to be strong in the Lord and the power in His might, we know that, first of all, we need to be dead to ourselves. We need to ask, we need to be open to God and have God, having God to use us in ways where we're not even thinking that we're even capable. And God can. We need to be surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ before we can be strong in the Lord. And the most important thing is here, I feel that the important thing is to be strong in the Lord and to be used by God. It needs to be this right here, Acts 17, a few verses here. What needs to happen? First of all, we need to as it says here in Acts, where these Bereans, it says that they were more noble than those in the Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things be so. Therefore, many of them believed. Also honorable women, which were Greeks, men not a few, but with the Jews of the Thessalonica, acknowledged that the word of God which preached of Paul of Berea, the things came hither also and stirred up the people. And as I read through that, be good Bereans. We need to be good Bereans and search out the word of God. See what God would have for us in our life. It says that they had a readiness of mind. What is a readiness of mind? A willingness, an openness of mind, where God speaks and we're willing to search it out. As Freeman said this morning, he just put some of these things out there to have to search it out. And I wrote some of these things down. It was good. But we need to. It says that they had a readiness of mind and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And when we hear things, let's not be persuaded just by hearsay on everything that we hear. But I believe that we need to search it out for ourselves. And I know that, as it says in Romans, it says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. We need to know what God's word says, and we need to know what is the will of God for our lives if we are going to be strong, if we're going to be strong in the Lord. And I know right after I got born again, and I know most of you probably can relate to that, as I got born again, I was persuaded easily by things that I heard. And things that who I was around with a lot of younger Christians, and I'd hear them say this here, and it sounded right, so I would just hark on that. And all of a sudden it came that they were changing their mind on that, and here I was persuaded because they were. But it's good to be good Bereans and search out the Word of God, because a lot of confusion came in my life at that time as I was just more or less not searching out the Word of God, but just to hear, believing what I was hearing. And yes, a lot of it I learned a lot that was true, but some things that we didn't do because they said no, they wouldn't do it that way. So let's be brilliant and search out the Word. Be strong in the Lord. And it says, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I shared that a little bit ago, that, you know, putting on the whole armor, not have our minds be affected by the things that at Walmart, not having our minds be affected, the things that we need to put on the armor and protect our minds. We don't go to beaches where there's immodesty. We don't go to places where there's ungodly music. And so we need to put on our protection. We need to put on the whole armor of God, just not part of it. We could put on, you know, part where we try to protect our heart, but our mind defiles the heart. If we don't put protection on from our mind, Satan will defile the whole body. Then 12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We heard there are many trials, and there's many things that the churches are going through. The churches are, as you can say, in a whole, the ones that we're just familiar with, we're in a fight. We are in a battle. And it's not man against man, it's not a woman against woman, but it is the devil. It is the spirit. It's a spirit. It says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's like it's flesh and blood. It's not that we're against. But we're against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. And he would rather see every church that claims Jesus Christ, he'd rather see every church destroyed. He wants to see churches scattered. Because when there's when things, when people scatter, yes, God used that. As we he can use that to get us in different places, but let's not be for a wrong motive. Let's not let it be because we can't agree on a few words here and a few verses there and there, but let's not let Satan scatter us. You know, as I say, it's a battle. I know Paul, as Paul says, one thing he battled, he says, one thing I want to do, I don't. The things I do want to do, I don't. He, as I said, as we heard that Satan, he wants to destroy, throw us piece to piece into hell. That's his pleasure. So let's fight together. And a few verses that hinge on us, that we can be together and how we can overcome. I feel the first thing that needs to happen to each and every one of us is in the verses in Matthew 22, the greatest commandment. And when that is in our heart, Matthew 22, starting on 34, is the greatest commandment. It says that when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, what is a great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Think of that verse there. If we come to that point and we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, would you agree with that? Would that transform churches? Would that transform people? Would that transform groups? It would. When we'd have nothing but love for one another, when we have God in our heart, love God with all of our heart, and we love God with all of our heart, that means that there's no room for bitterness. That means there's no room for the earthly pleasures. That means that there's no room for gossip. That means that there's no room for bitterness. That means that there's no room for whatever. If we love God with all of our heart, and with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. He says this is the first and the greatest commandment. So I believe that as fighting together, putting on the whole armor of God, let's take that verse. And if we see in our hearts, in our lives, that it's not completely God, if we don't love God with all of our heart, if we have other passions that our hearts divided, let's seek God. And I tell you, when I read through this verse yesterday, it struck me. What is other things in my heart that's divided from the pure love of just God? Yes, I know that we need to be involved in earthly affairs. We do. We need to work. We need to provide for our children. We rub shoulders with some of the most ungodly people when we work, you know, and all that. And they, yes, but we know that. But let's not have our heart divided on earthly things. And then he said, the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbors as yourself. And we know that we cannot love one another, love our neighbors. Who is our neighbors? He says, you know, those people that we're around. That won't happen unless we have that true love of God in our hearts first. Our whole heart for God. We won't be able to love one another. And maybe that's the fact. Maybe when we don't have that love for one another, let's go back up a few verses. Maybe it's because we don't love God with all of our heart. And God said this is the greatest commandment. So it challenged me yesterday. Do I have that pure love of God, Mar? And he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Okay, I think I might have went through that. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Okay, no, I didn't read that. In that evil day, as I shared before, that we have a flood of ungodliness around us, and it's still coming. But we don't have to be. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in on our toes, because when we heard today that when we're on Jesus' side, or it says in John, when we love God, No, it ain't coming to me. Who can separate us from the love of God? You know, that verse there, I think it's in John. Nobody. We know that nobody can except ourselves. When we throw ourselves into the will of God and walk with God, there's nobody will be able to separate us. So I don't want to... So let's take on the whole armor of God. As I shared, I think I shared a little earlier, when the soldiers, when they went to the battle, they put on the whole gear. I shared that from the beginning. They covered their head and their chest and their loins and their legs, basically the whole body, so they were not wounded. And I just wrote, how much more as the children of God should we guard against to protect our soul? And it's not a works based thing. And I think that's what happens sometimes when we think that we're righteous in God and we don't have to do anything. We will find ourselves, well, it don't matter if I walk across this aisle here, if I walk down this aisle here where the alcohol is at or the nude pictures and all that. But yes, I believe that it's not a works thing. I believe it's protecting our minds. And I believe that when that comes, when them thoughts come, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of this life, of this earth, and it's against Satan. Do we have a love for righteousness, and do we hate iniquity? Are we jealous over what God has done for us? Just some verses here. Are we willing to be called a fool for living for Jesus? Can we come to a point and say, whatever you want us to do, Lord, I'll do. Whatever you want us to say, God, I'll do. Wherever you want me to be, I'll be. Are we willing to die for the sake of Jesus Christ? So that at the end of the time, we have done all to stand against, to stand on the evil day. Then in 14 says, stand therefore, having your goings lured about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And these next six verses, the six pieces here, from on down here, it is on truth and the breastplate of righteousness, preparation of the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And I don't know if I'll get all through all of them or not. But as I read through 14 there, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And know that, and Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? And I'm going to summarize some of this stuff with my own words throughout the scriptures, but it's going to be coming from basically from the scripture. But I'm going to read a story here first where it says truth. And the first thing it says up on top, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So we know that Jesus is truth. He is the truth and he is the life. If we want to know truth, we're going to need to know Jesus. But Pilate asked, what is truth? If this question has ever been relevant, it is surely today. Some years ago, one person wrote, is it now necessary to be sure that it is true truth? Sounds strange, doesn't it? The world today seems to have lost the concept of what truth really is. In courts across the land, people swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, but nothing but the truth. Yet this does deter some from blatantly lying. Some required coined as expression that refers to lying as using alternating. They're taking lying, and they said, well, they alternated the truth instead of calling it lying. Today, there are multitudes of half-truth, watered-down truth, deceptive claims, and misleading statements. So what is truth? As Christians, we can be deeply thankful that the truth has been revealed to us through the Word of God. Jesus said in his prayer to the Father, that word is truth, as it says in John 17:17. And so is it. Jesus also declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. He was and still is truth embodied. Walking in truth and demonstrating truth in John 1:17. The Bible declares that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Greek word for came indicates the truth originated with Christ. The truth of the matter is that we can actually know what real truth is. Jesus says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A wonderful example of someone we met A wonderful example of someone who met truth head on is Apostle Paul. Jesus confronted him on the road to Damascus, and from that time forth, he committed himself to obeying the truth. Paul became the messenger of truth to the nations, and his message of truth still stands forth today. It says, "Do not be afraid to face the truth, for it will open the door to a fruitful life." Praise the Lord. But as we go through this, and I just wrote down here just some things here. The truth is, I'm just sharing some things. We know that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come to the Father but by me." We know that. So I wrote down from Jesus steps from the throne of heaven, from God, and from that glorious place, as it says in the scriptures. You know, he stepped down from a place where he was living with God. And in 2 Corinthians 5 it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Truth is, Jesus died so that me and you could have our sins forgiven, as it says in Ezekiel 36 there, it says that. "A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from your uncleanness, and I will call you to the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you." And he did that. It's true. That came to pass. In Matthew 1:21 it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. And the truth is that it's not the heart of God that anyone shall perish, but all come to everlasting life. It's true. It's the Word of God. And when I'm saying that, how do I know it's truth? Because it's the Word of God. And it's a blessing to be able to just to take the Word of God and read this and say, it's truth. Not having to go to some scientific people or whoever them people are that come up with all kinds of ideas to say that's not true. Like one last night come up and he says, "I tell you right now," he said, "and don't argue," he said, "the world is square. The world is not round." And Jaden's like, "What do you mean that's not round?" I said, "That's one of those guys." I said, he's an unbeliever, and he wanted to argue and say that he come to a place that they did a study. He said, "I can take you through a whole study to tell you that this earth is square." I said, "No." I said, I don't want to hear it. And we got to share, and he walked away. But it's amazing that we can pick up the Word of God and say that this is true today. Truth. Jesus resurrected from the grave, and he intercedes for you and me today around God's throne. And I wrote, hallelujah. Just on the resurrection itself, how many billions of people that do not believe that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave? I mean, we know the sects of people, and I don't want to mention them, that believe that Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. He did good, many good things. But he died, and the soldiers took him from that tomb and destroyed his body. He didn't resurrect. The truth is, he resurrected. And I just want to read a scripture from that, just on as I'm sharing here on truth. And I just like to read a lot of scripture here when I preach. It seems like it's a blessing. On Luke 24, on the resurrection, starting on verse 36. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and he said, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had been seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands," he said, "and my feet, it is myself. Handle me and see me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they have yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, "Have ye any meat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it, he did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I have spoken to you while I was yet with you, these all Now all these things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, in the Psalms, and concerning me. Then opening he their understanding, they that might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus is written, and thus is behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that the repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name among the all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he let them out far as from Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Truth. He resurrected from the grave. And interceding today, sitting around the throne of God for me and you today. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's the Word of God. Many begin this journey, but many don't finish. It's truth. In John 3, if you are not born again, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's truth. Why? Because the Scripture points, Scripture says it throughout the Scripture. I think John 3 mentions it four times in the first five or first seven verses that you need to be born again. The truth in Revelations in 22:15, Corinthians 6:9-10, Galatians 5:19-21, Jesus talks about all the ungodliness that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'll just read one here. Just and most of these verses are referring to the same things in Revelations 22:15. It says, For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loveth it maketh a lie. And he goes, and most of those verses are saying that, and Jesus has sent my angel testifying to those things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And he goes on to say, those shall have their part in the lake of fire. Ephesians 5, a verse says here, But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetous, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking. Now it gets down to practical, some of our practical ways of life here. It says, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man. Here it puts it in a covetous man. What is a covetous man? Who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. It's truth. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God is upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are the light of the Lord. Walk as the children of light. Sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's truth. You surrender your life to the Lord Jesus, He will not forsake you. That's truth. God in no way will cast you out if you seek Jesus Christ with all your heart, as we read there in Matthew. If we surrender our heart, and we sung that song this morning, I wasn't surrendering my heart to the Lord as I was sitting there saying, Lord, I just don't know if I could come preach here this morning. And we sung this song. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I wasn't freely giving myself this morning, but I want to. I will ever love you and trust in you. I wasn't trusting in Him to bring me up here and speak, have Him speak through me this morning. In His presence, daily live. And it says, I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me, Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. May we find ourselves there. Surrender our hearts to the Lord Jesus. And it says, fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings follow me. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And I can tell you, I have not always, even just with this morning as I was struggling, but I have not always surrendered myself in all things to the Lord Jesus. And I can say that, yet knowing that I'm still a child of God. But yet there's things that God wanted for me, and I have not surrendered to. But my heart is. I want to be completely in His will when He returns back. And that last verse, the verse I just read there on having the breastplate of righteousness. As we heard this morning, the breastplate of righteousness, it represents a holy character of moral conduct. And in our daily walk, when we're representing, in our daily walk, are we representing holiness? Well, that breastplate of righteousness, as I study that out, it represents a holy character and a moral conduct. In verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I didn't study a whole lot on that, and I don't know if I understand that completely. But as a Christian, it says, but I've seen that. As a Christian, we must have a sense of eagerness or willingness to advance against Satan and take the fight to him. We must be eager or willing when fiery darts come, just not to surrender, not to lay down, let him continue on, but we'd get up and fight against the things that he throws at us. This is what I've seen there. Having on our feet shod with the preparation. But then it talks about the gospel of peace. So as he throws in things, we need to have an eagerness and willingness to fight him. And we cannot fight him on our own. Let's not get that mixed up. We need to take the Lord Jesus. We need to be in the Lord Jesus. And we can fight against him when the fiery darts come. Be willing to call Satan for who he is. A liar. He's full of deception, a killer, and we can go on. Be willing to call sin, sin. Not compromising. And knowing that Satan has been defeated at the foot of the cross. For every man that wants to come to God are able to come because Satan has been defeated at the foot of the cross. Satan defeated in our lives today. Are we finding victory in Jesus? Or is Satan controlling just a little area of your life? If he has some things in our life that is not surrendered, if we have some things in our life that's not surrendered completely to him, we will not have that gospel of peace. We will not have that true peace of God in our lives. What he's talking about here in John 14, as he talks about that peace. Oh, that's so much. He talks about peace. Quite a bit throughout the scriptures here, but just a few of them here. I just want to talk about what Jesus mentioned about peace. On John, I think it was John. I didn't write that down. John 14. Yeah, I did. John 14:27 says that, starting 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And the peace that God gives, it passes, as Jesus says, the peace that he gives, it passes all understanding. That we can have that true peace. There is a rest for the people of God. So let's be in that peace where Jesus is at. And then John 16, he shares a verse here on peace. Behold, the hour cometh, yeah, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And we see that as the world lives in turmoil, as the world goes without peace, he says that you can have peace in the midst of that. In the midst of these trials and tribulations, we can be at peace. So let's not go without true peace each the days that he gives us here So on verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I was blessed with that, and as I studied on that, it was sort of hard to just take certain verses of the scriptures on faith. But we see here, he does. You know, first, I want to share, first of all, the first verse that came to my mind when I read this verse. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." So that blessed me as that verse came. And we know without faith, we are not going to please God. And you know the faith chapter there in Hebrews. I'm just going to read some of those that walked in faith and how God blessed them, how God was with them. And Hebrews 10, first of all, before I get there, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast that profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke into love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So let us draw near with a true heart." And as I remember walking, you know, God wants us just to trust in him and just to rely on him every day, every hour of our life. And that is the heart of him. And God help us so we can wake up in the morning, we're relying on him. But as we heard here, as Brother Freeman shared on that, we know that it's hard to balance out on faith and works and all this stuff. But I always say, it is the true faith is a faith that works. It's a faith that is willing to obey when God speaks. That is a faith how I see it. So God, I hope you understand me here. But it is. He wants us to rest in him. As I shared, there is a rest for the people of God. We just can't be in turmoil. I mean, if we don't depend on this faith, we're always going to be wondering, are we good enough? Are we doing enough? And all that. Let's have the faith that works, the true faith of God. And I can remember, you know, it came to my mind. I remember walking with my dad, often going and getting the cows when I was smaller. I must have been, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years old. And we would go back to the woods. And sometimes it was dark in the morning, and he'd get us up and go with him. But as we were walking, in the herd, there was always a mad bull. It seemed like Dad always had a mad bull around there. I'm not sure why. I think you can have bulls without being mad. But as we walked with Dad to go get the cows up, and there's always this bull, and he would start hollering and screaming at Dad and moaning, and as long as I had a hold of Dad's hand, I was fine. I mean, and that bull, he feared my dad. My dad just walk up there, and he would just be pawing at him, you know, 10, 12 feet away, and Dad would just go around and keep getting the old cows and just walk up. But I'd want to say that my dad had a lot of faith, but I can't, I don't know, my dad's heart might have been trembling. But what I want to use is that as I held my dad's hand, I was okay. And that's how God wants us. He wants us to reach up, grab his hand, and just say, "Trust in me. I will lead you through if you're willing to come and follow me." He wants to lead us home. God wants to lead us home. He wants to lead us out of this wicked, vile, wicked, the world that we're in. He wants to lead us home. So here in Hebrews 10, or Hebrews 11, just a few things here. First of all, Hebrews 10, I'm sorry. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man shall draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them we who draw back into perdition, but of those that believing to the saving of the soul."
Then chapter 11, it talks about, let's read a few of these verses, maybe up to 13. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than God, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts by it as being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found not dead. It was found not, because God has translated him. We are no different than that today. We can be translated as well. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. Then, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, not seeing as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark of the saving of the house, by which he condemned the world, and become heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he shall after receive the inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him in the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and would deliver the child when she was past age, because she judged him faithfully who had promised. Therefore spring there even as one, and him as good as dead. So as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of this earth. And today, are we not strangers and pilgrims of this earth, of this life? We are just passing by too. Can we not embrace just the promises of God and stay there? It says they all died in faith, not seeing the promises that were there. Today, we have many promises. We know that Jesus Christ, he was foretold in the Old Testament of the Savior coming to save this world. We have that. He came. He died to take away the sin of man. He became that scapegoat. So we would not have to offer up goat after goat after goat. And I told Jaden the other day, praise, we were going through devotions, that can you imagine if America would have to offer up a goat each time they sin? There would be no goats left in America. There would be no goats around. But praise God that he came once and for all and became sin for us so we could be free in him. But all these, as I think of Noah, by faith he went out to build an ark. And it never rained ever before. There was no rain that fell from the heavens. He went out because God told him to. Can we just do what God tells us? Abraham, God told him he'll have a son, and he believed in God, and he was old in his age. Then after that came to pass, he gave him a son, and God told him to go offer him up as a sacrifice. And Abraham's like, he didn't understand it, but he went. Do we have to understand all this? No. As I see here, we don't have to understand it. But the important thing is, are we willing just to obey the Word of God? Take the Word of God. Live by faith. Just to walk where the God would have us to go. Jesus wants us to completely trust in Him. I wrote Jesus here. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He wants us to completely trust in Him. Even if He takes one of our loved ones, even if He takes someone that we love dearly, are we able just to trust in the Lord that you are leading me and you are doing the right? You're doing the right, God. Can I just lay that there? And we know that there's some in here that had some of their loved ones pass on. Even if we lose our job, or even if we lose everything we have, can we still trust in God? Are we able to say, Lord Jesus, you are still leading me? And as I was sharing that, a few of those men come to my mind. I think of Job. As first of all, it took his fruits, and then it took all of his animals, and it took his children and his wife, and it took everything that Job had. What did it say? Right after he took all of his children, and I'm not sure how long of a time period that was, but it said that Job fell down and he worshipped God. Beautiful verse. Are we able? Are we at that place where we can, no matter what goes on, we're able to worship, fall down and worship God, say, God, I'm still trusting in you, Lord. I know that this is your will, what's happening. Or look at Paul. As I ponder now, think of that. Paul, God struck him down there on the road to Damascus there. And he told Paul, he said, I want to use you as a minister of reconciliation. I want to use you as a minister of God. Not in those words, but... And he said, I want you to follow me. I'm going to make you a man of righteousness. I'm going to make you a man of God. And Paul was like, it was Saul at that time, and he says, okay. He said, I'll go. But Saul spent almost half of his life in prison. I'm sure he was wondering, why? I thought he was going to use me. Not even knowing that he was using throughout the time in the prisons. But we see Paul did not get in despair. He did not forsake his faith in God. He believed, continued on believing in God. Because we know that when that earthquake there, they were singing. And a great earthquake came. If anybody could have forsaken God because of all things that happened, it could have been him. Okay, I think I'm going to have to hurry up here and bring this to a close. Few more things here in faith on Romans 4, the promise realized through faith, and I know it's talking about a lot of some of that I just read. It says, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they were of the law by heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end of the promise where we sure all the seed, not to only which is the law, but to also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he had believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called these things which is not as they were. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was also able to perform. And there it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. And those examples were for us as well, to read and to understand, to see, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who had delivered us from our offenses and raised up again for our justification. It says, by trusting in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in all of our life, you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And that was that verse I just read there. So just being able to walk in God, trusting in Him. Should quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And 17, and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But on the whole armor of God is being filled with the Word of God, being filled with righteousness, being filled with God's love, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. To be filled with all that, we need to be empty of ourselves. We need to surrender. I spoke a little bit on that. And we know that we have met men that claim to be Christians, and they were so full of themselves that they had no room for God or the things that I have mentioned above. So we first of all, we need to be empty of ourselves. We want the Spirit of God to move us and to use us. And I wrote here, if all the people that claim to be Christians would be filled with that Holy Spirit, what we talked about, what would that look like? And I wrote, the churches would be transformed. And I say that carefully. I know that God still have a work in my life, in my heart, that I want God to do yet as well. But I'm just going to close here. I could have went on several more of those there. But in prayer, 18, praying with all the prayer, supplications of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And I believe this is the most vibrant part of keeping the armor of God on, is spending time communing with God in our prayer closet. Begging, crying out to God, asking, seeking the will of God, what He would have for us. In John 17, we see that Jesus, that the prayer of Jesus, it's a beautiful prayer. First of all, he began praying for himself. God, how do you say it? God, you, not my will, but thine. He's praying for himself. Then he prayed for the believers there further on down, that he would watch the disciples, take care of them, that the ones that he had, that God had given to him. Then he also prays for the unbelievers. So I believe that to keep that armor of God on, let's continue on seeking God in prayer. And I believe it's the most important and the vibrant part of the armor is seeking God in prayer and asking. And for me, that utterance. 19 says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassadors in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And if we come to that point and we have that whole armor of God on, God will use us. He will give us utterance, and he will give us boldness to share the mystery of the gospel. So I just want to let that with you. And if I shared anything that was not truth, was not right, I do open my life up and ask you to come to me. So may God bless you. And again, as I shared, it is just a word of encouragement. Putting on the armor, keeping on the armor. Let's not take off the armor of God in any circumstance. We see there as Joseph, another one that came to my mind, as he was sold out to God. And even though when they brought him out of prison to interpret the dreams, and he got put in the house with Potiphar's wife, and the temptation that came there was great. And he did not take off any of his gear just for that moment. He kept it buckled up tight, and he fled. So let's keep our armor on and flee the temptations of the devil. When evil comes, let's run. Because it says that anything anything that's sin is just an appearance of evil. Even that just appearance of evil, flee. So let's buckle up. So when the appearance comes, we know it's evil, and we'll call it sin, or we'll walk the other way. God bless you. And my heart is someday that we can, as we're sitting here, we can be scattered out around the throne, worshiping together around God's throne. So let's keep fighting on. Let's say I love you all.